picking on that red guitar. So gather round, now gather round, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. You will be, because South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for listening. Joining us now, a former state senator, Rusty Glover, regular on the program. We're always appreciative of his time. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Thanks for making time for us. Let's get into it. First up, Tennessee Senate race, not expected to be the barn burner, not very close at all, but I tell you what, you wouldn't know it just from the outside looking in, just how active the candidates are at this early stage of this race. Do you need to be this active, you think, at this point in time, if you're running in Republican primary statewide?
It is odd, 11 months before the primary, for all this activity. You know, and the Club for Growth poll, you know, the data was collected in April, I believe. And at that particular point, Katie Britt had, with the exception of some business leaders and a few folks from hometown or whatnot, she probably didn't have very much of a name recognition statewide. And I think this could be a mistake bringing out this poll, because what it does, it gives her the opportunity to come back in a week or two with much better numbers and say that she has a momentum shift. And so I think that that's a, it might not have been the best thing. I know what they were trying to do. They're trying to knock her down on the day that she, you know, she announced, but the storyline is going to be the huge momentum shift that she has attracted in a couple of weeks' time. And I think that could come back to bite them.
Well, I tell you what, though, watching this sort of Katie Britt movement develop, it's the same people. It looks a lot to me like Luther Strange and what we saw in 2017. Mm-hmm. It's the same folks.
Oh, I agree.
The only difference is Luther Strange had a Trump endorsement in his back pocket. Katie Britt doesn't have that luxury.
That's right. And Britt, she's bright, articulate, attractive, and I think in most election years she would win, and maybe win handily. But I think she'll do well with the 30 and under votes. But you know, we're in an unusual political climate right now, and I believe that. That most of the Republican primary voters are still very angry over the systematic voting fraud that took place in November. And they're mad. And you know, I said this on the first week I was on the Voice of Alabama Politics, and it was met with, well, that's a lie. Well, you know, the courts, you know, they were not willing to determine which candidate received which fraudulent votes. I mean, even though the statistics and witnesses, you know, were there, they definitely exist. And Brooks is someone who stood by Trump. He's armed with the statistics of the voter fraud. And even the left can't deny with a straight face that this did indeed happen. And I think people are going to take a lot of that anger to the polls. And this atmosphere, I see that, you know, the voters may be looking for a bare knuckles fighter, you know, and that's who they're going to see. Mo Brooks is that type of a candidate. And I think that's a huge advantage for him.
I agree with that. Well, let's something you said that kind of I never really thought of it, that Katie Britt is good to appeal to a lot of younger voters. And now that I think about it, you're probably right. You're seeing all these college Republicans and young Republicans really come out hard for her. Is it just aesthetics that we need somebody younger, some fresher blood, and that's what they think? Or is there an ideological component at that level that they see – They really do think Mo Brooks is too extreme, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you see that with, like, the younger voters and many of the voters that are Republicans that went over and voted for Doug Jones. I think a lot of them are going to vote in the Republican primary in this, and it'll help her. But she's saying the right things on her program, on your interview the other day. She's saying the right things, and ideology speaking, she's right on. It's just that I'm just not sure that the majority of Republican primary voters are looking for somebody other than someone who stood tall with the president. And of course, Mo's endorsement from the president, President Trump, is going to be very strong. You know, and I know this is, may sound a little strange what I'm going to say, but I really truly believe that the endorsement by Trump is stronger now, having Trump lose the election, than it would be if he was president of the United States, because people, most stood with him. He was one of the very few that were talking about the voter fraud, fighting for the president. And he, and this is a, I just feel like that Mo's support is going to be stronger with a post-Trump presidency than it would be if he was actual president. I really, really believe that.
Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, dissect it this way, that is it, you know, what would the world be like right now if Trump were president of the United States? What would, you know, I mean, you know, there would be every effort underway. There's still a little bit of an effort to beat up on Trump, but every effort underway, yeah, just to make him out to be the worst thing. I think his approval numbers would be even lower than they have ever been, and then that's what we would, that guy would be your endorsement.
Right, and I think when the TV commercials and the appearances take place, and I believe that they will, I think that could be very overwhelming to Mo's opponents. I think it's going to really make a difference, and people are going to really take an interest in it. Again, it's 11 months. A lot of things can happen. You could have other candidates jump into the race. I don't think that's really that likely, especially with Mo with such a commanding lead right now. And again, when I say commanding lead, that was based on April. She's going to have some better numbers probably if the polls were taken today. But I just really don't see people coming into it. Now, Linda Blanchard, she could be counting on, you know, the other two, Britt and Brooks, having a bloodbath, and kind of like Bradley Byrne and Tim James in 2010, and Bentley slipping in and getting in the runoff. She may be looking at that. She may be being told by handlers that that's a possibility. I really don't see that right now, although she does have a tremendous amount of money, and she can make things happen in that regard. But I just don't see that right now. But again, 11 months away, Linda Blanchard could be a factor.
Clifford Grove getting involved in this race, endorsing Congressman Brooks earlier this week. Not that people are going to be like, oh, wow, Clifford Grove. Well, I'm definitely voting for Mo Brooks. I think it's more this, that they're going to come in, and if we saw this with Barry Moore, with Jerry Carl, in their congressional races, but we really saw it statewide, probably the best way to liken it here. When they went after Bradley Byrne in his U.S. Senate bid, when they come into Alabama and just go negative carpet bomb Katie Britt, it's not so much that that's going to – I don't know that it really has a big, 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 big impact. It does have some impact, but it's almost psychological for these guys that they don't like the Club for Growth coming in, and it becomes a campaign topic, and maybe they play it up more than it warrants.
Yeah, yes, and I think, you know, every race I had, except for my first race when I ran for office, I had a female opponent, and I can't remember how many, just a lot of people would come and tell me, don't go negative, especially the woman. You never criticize a woman. You never attack a woman. And I think there's some truth to that. I think there would be some backlash if you start attacking a young lady like that, and I know that, you know, that doesn't sound really good to say, but I think it's true. I think voters will turn their back on candidates that are attacking a lady. That's just the way psychologically a lot of people are, and if she looks like the victim, I think that hurts her, and it could actually help Blanchard if the attacks are something that people see as legit. Then they go to the alternative candidate, Blanchard, or maybe someone else who may jump into the race.
We're joined by former state senator Rusty Glover here on the program. Let's talk prisons. You've heard the guests come on, the attorney general, the Senate general fund chairman, try to give us a sense of where these negotiations are with the governor and with the leadership of the legislature. My whole problem with all of this, it seems to center on this assumption that they're going to be able to get these members of the legislature to go along with whatever plan they hatch, that they're going to go along with it, and it's going to get done. I have no reason to believe that, because we saw what happened at the end of the last session, and you know, there's so much at stake for a lot of these senators that maybe they try to gum things up. I don't think you're going to get buy-in from the Alabama legislature like a lot of these folks think you will.
Well, I know that back when Bentley had his plan before the legislature 5 or 6 years ago, I got very, very little correspondence in any medium from constituents. There just wasn't a lot of interest there. And I said on the program before, speaking at Rotary Clubs 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, I would speak on these matters and the problems of the prisons being taken over by the federal government and prisoners being released, and people would literally roll their eyes. They didn't seem to care, and they won't care until it happens. And I know it's going to seem like we're crying wolf to many people because, you know, we've been saying this. Sean's been saying it for years. Cam Ward has been saying this for years, and it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, with this new administration and the Department of Justice, they may be more eager to put something like that through. And I think a lot of it might be accepted by many who perceive that many people who are being released are on drug charges, which is really not the case. As Cam Ward has said over and over again, it's only 5 or 6% of the people who are in jail on drug charges. And even those people are there with long rap sheets. And they're not the type of people we want loose in the streets. And I think until that happens, you know, if that happens, if they're let loose, there's going to be a huge backlash against the legislature about why didn't you do anything. So they really need to get involved and do this and not accept just any plan, but something that's good for the state. You know, there's talk about some federal money coming in the next few weeks that maybe can be used for that. Maybe that's an answer. But they got to get this. This is very important that they get this taken care of. So we cannot go into receivership with our Department of Corrections.
Well, they've always been trying to be cute, a little too cute with it. And you know, we got to wait and see what the Sentencing Commission says or whatever. And then, well, the governor's going to handle this with this lease bill. No buy-in from the legislature. That always seemed risky to me, even without knowing what we know now about the financing. There's always some mishap or some bad luck. They're not going through every possible outcome here. And I think whenever you ask these guys, do you really think this will happen in the legislature? You hear, well, we're going to have to. We're going to have to. Yeah. Well, that is true. But is there any reason to believe that because you're going to have to, that it's actually going to happen? I don't know. Getting the votes there and getting all those guys to agree on something, I guess I feel a little bit better after talking to Senator Chambliss, knowing that they can salvage some of the core civic stuff and use it for whatever they come up with. But is there any reason to think that these guys in the legislature are going to play along with this? Why are we operating on that assumption?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really has the answers, but it just has to happen. And I think a lot of the pushback may be from Senator Beasley and others, many of which are in the minority party that their hometowns economically would be hit very hard if you take out the prison. And I can understand that, and I have some sympathy for that, but we can't have the inevitable eventually happening by not acting. But
And maybe you know this crowd a little better than I do, but I also think some of these more right of center members, you know, if there were a Freedom Caucus in the Alabama legislature, those guys aren't going to necessarily want to go along with this either. It's similar to gaming that, yeah, we got to, but do we, you know, look at the money we're spending or whatever they have a fiscal policy concerns about the approach. That you're going to have a coalition perhaps of Democrats that are just ideologically opposed to any kind of prisons, perhaps a few members that don't want to lose it in their community, and then these guys that are ideologically opposed for, you know, that this is a boondoggle, so why are you trying to force this through, something doesn't pass a smell test here. And I'm not so sure that that's going to win the day, that that's going to be enough, or that you're just going to have a big slowdown, and as we always see, things kind of run out of time.
Well, the from the right, I never really saw any real movements from the right against the prison movement. I think Senator Paul Samford at the time had some problems with the Bentley plan, and the late Mark Montiel, who's on the radio in Montgomery, was just blasting people for going along with Bentley's plan. But outside of that, it wasn't really, I never really saw very much opposition from the right. Governor Bentley was going through all of his ordeals at the time, and so the train wasn't running very smoothly as far as he was concerned, but it was, well, it passed the Senate, but it failed in the House, and I'm not sure what happened in the House, but it may have been that, you know, the Democrats, threatened the filibuster or did that, and it was, they were having some trouble getting a cloture vote to stop the filibuster. That may have been part of the problem. I'm not sure if they ever actually got to a vote to defeat it or not. Very few times are bills voted down on a House. They're usually defeated because they're carried over in a body, and that may have been what happened in the House. But I don't know. We'll see, but something has got to happen.
Senator, we got to get out of here, but we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Former State Senator Rusty Glover, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065. And there's always a stage and a beautiful place.